This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Tuesday, July 3rd, 2018. Coming up this hour,
U.S. futures and European stocks stabilize after a mixed session in Asia.
China's currency stems losses after the PBOC pledges stability.
Shares of Glencore plunge after a U.S. subpoena over possible money laundering.
And Societe Generale acquires the commodities and equity units of Commerce Bank.
President Trump says he met with four possible Supreme Court nominees. Plus, they found the young boys trapped in a cave. Now rescuers are figuring out how to get them out. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Rob Buschka. Ahead in sports, the Yankees bullpen suffers a rare loss, and the rich get richer in the NBA.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And U.S. futures and European equities are gaining following a mixed session in Asia. It is coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 7 points. Dow futures up 74. NASDAQ futures up 24. The DAX in Germany is up 1%. CAC in Paris up 0.8%. FTSE 100 up 0.3%. Hang Seng in Hong Kong down 1.4%, while the Nikkei 225 in Japan was down 0.1%. 10-year Treasury, little change, yield 2.87%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.54%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.9% or 65 cents to $74.59 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.3%, up $4.40 to $12.46.10 an ounce. The euro, $1.1658. The yen, 110.92. And this data check brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF. Bob.
China's central bank has stepped in to stem a slide in the yuan. After seeing the currency weaken more than 4% over the past month, the People's Bank of China issued a pledge to stabilize the yuan, saying it will maintain a prudent, neutral policy stance. Sakir Nasabi is CEO at Hermes Investment Management.
I think it should give people some reassurance that the PBOC thinks it can control the currency. I'm not entirely sure about what the message is. China is not a free market in the sense that we think it's a free market. The weakening of the yuan to this level, in my view, was allowed by the government just as a warning shot across the bows to the Trump administration about trade war. And now they've stopped it. So they're saying, we're playing by the rules, we'll try to halt it here, let's be sensible. So I think it's part of negotiation.
And checking the offshore yuan right now, it is up around 0.3%.
And the brewing U.S.-China trade conflict may already be taking a toll on China's exports. Official data show them slowing significantly in the first half of the year, with exports to the U.S. expanding just 5.4%. That's nearly 14 percentage points lower than the same period last year.
The U.S. government is moving, meantime, to block China Mobile from entering its telecommunications market, citing national security concerns. Joe Sobchak has more from the Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
There is great sentiment in Congress and probably the public at large for cracking down on China, and this is yet another example of the administration going that way by saying that China Mobile is wholly owned by the Chinese government and as such is subject to coercion and influence for potential economic espionage.
The Commerce Department says the FCC should deny China Mobile's application to enter the U.S. because it would pose unacceptable national security risks.
At the same time, China's getting ready to cancel shipments of U.S. soybeans. Chinese companies are expected to scrub most of the remaining orders they committed to buy from the U.S. once extra tariffs on imports take effect this Friday. Beijing has said it would impose tariffs on soybean imports starting July 6th.
In London, shares of Glencore are down 11% this morning after the company received a U.S. subpoena related to possible corruption and money laundering. Bloomberg's Sebastian Salek joins us live from London with details. Good morning, Sebastian.
Good morning, Bob and Karen. These troubles escalating dramatically for the world's biggest commodities trader. These documents relate to the company's business in Nigeria, the Democratic Republic of Congo and Venezuela from 2007 onwards. It's been a tumultuous year for Glencore, mostly due to challenges linked to its business in the Congo. It operates giant copper and cobalt mines there. It's already facing the possibility of a bribery investigation by the UK prosecutors over its work with Dangote Gertler. He's an Israeli billionaire and a close friend of the Congolese president. This is according to Bloomberg sources back in May. Glencore says it's reviewing the subpoena and will provide further information in due course as appropriate. That drop on the markets is the biggest in 2 years. In London, I'm Sebastian Salek, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Sebastian, thank you. We have a bank deal in Europe this morning with Societe Generale acquiring the commodities unit and equities markets of Commerce Bank. Bloomberg's Danny Berger reports.
One of the big things they're getting here, SocGen that is a big exchange-traded product business from Commerce Bank. Look, in these uncertain times, asset management units are struggling, but what continues to do well is low-cost ETFs. So not only is this a play for Germany, but also a play for ETFs.
While financial details of the deal were not disclosed, SocGen says the acquisition will have a positive impact on return on tangible equity.
The euro is stronger after German Chancellor Angela Merkel halted the immediate threat of a government breakup. She agreed to a plan that will tighten immigration policy and keep her Bavarian sister party in Germany's ruling coalition. Bloomberg's Patrick Donahue reports from Berlin.
Should the compromise hold, the German leader will be able to move past a domestic dispute that threatened to bring down her three-month-old government. This accord calls for a new border regime between Germany and Austria and the establishment of so-called transit centers to process asylum applications. In Berlin, Patrick Donahue, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Patrick, thank you. Here in the U.S., that wave of store closings from Toys R Us has helped drive the national retail vacancy rate to the highest level since 2009. Bloomberg's Denise Pellegrini reports.
Real estate data company Reis says the amount of occupied retail real estate in 77 major U.S. metros plunged by 3.8 million square feet last quarter. And Barbara Denham, senior economist at Reis, says it's not just because of the Toys R Us bankruptcy either.
We saw more store closures from Kmart and Winn-Dixie and another retailer. So vacancy rate increased to 10.2%.
Long Island, central New Jersey, and some smaller markets like Knoxville and Little Rock, among those being hardest hit. In New York, I'm Denise Pellegrini, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Denise, thank you. And Facebook says it's cooperating with probes by the SEC, FBI, and FTC into the Cambridge Analytica scandal. Shares of Facebook down 1% in early trading. That brings us to 5:07 on Wall Street. Let's get the latest at home and around the world now from Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. President Donald Trump has spoken to four potential replacements for retiring Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy. According to people familiar with the matter, the four are all federal appeals court judges: Amy Coney Barrett, Brett Kavanaugh, Amul Thapar, and Raymond Kethledge. President Trump also says he spoke on the phone for about a half an hour yesterday with Mexico's president-elect, Andres Manuel López Obrador.
We talked about border security, we talked about trade, we talked about NAFTA, we talked about a separate deal, just Mexico and the United States. We had a lot of good conversation.
The president spoke to reporters ahead of his meeting at the White House with the Prime Minister of the Netherlands. Rescuers are racing to pump water from a cave in northern Thailand as heavy rain threatens to complicate efforts to free a youth soccer team found trapped for 10 days. The move comes as divers try to figure out a way to get the 12 boys and their coach out. Kentucky Republican Senator Rand Paul said police have arrested a man who threatened to violently attack and kill his family. Paul says the man threatened to, quote, kill me and chop up my family with an axe.
We have 24-hour security now. I can't go anywhere without security. And, yes, I can't even go to church without being worried about someone being there.
Last November, a neighbor tackled Paul as he mowed his lawn. Jeremy Corbyn heads to the seaside in Brighton today to address delegates of Unite, Britain's largest labor union, and his Labor Party's biggest financial backer. Bloomberg's Thomas Penny has more from London.
With a poll showing 57% of the union's members oppose Labour's policy of leaving the European Union's single market after Brexit, and, unlike Corbyn, want a referendum on the final Brexit deal, he might not get the rapturous reception he would normally expect. Along with pressure over Brexit from members of Momentum, the movement set up to support Corbyn's leadership, there's a swell of discontent that's hard for the leader to dismiss as the usual suspects. A change of policy may be on its way. In London, Thomas Penny, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. Now 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Investors Bank. And good morning to you, Rob Bushka.
Good morning, Bob. This year, the Yankees are known mostly for two things, their power and their bullpen, which suffered a rare setback Monday night.
And the pitch cut on him. This could slide it down and away. Ball game over. Braves win. Though the Braves take the first of the three-game series.
Yankees radio as David Robertson allowed an 11th inning home run. The Braves beat the Yankees 5-3 in extras to kick off the series. Tough break for Aaron Judge. The home run actually hit off his glove.
Yeah, I filled it in my glove. It didn't go in, and they got two runs. That's all really happened. Tough play, you know. I want to make that play for D-Rob, and you know, wasn't able to come through.
You couple that with the Red Sox beating Max Scherzer in the Nationals means Boston regains the East by a game. Series continues tonight from the Bronx. The Mets, they're in action when they visit Toronto. New York has lost 8 of 10. NBA free agency, the Warriors, who, mind you, have won three of the last four titles, added center DeMarcus Cousins on a one-year deal. He averaged a double-double last season in New Orleans. World Cup, Brazil shut out Mexico 2-0. Belgium ousted Japan in stoppage time 3-2. Sweden and Switzerland battled today at 10 a.m., followed by Colombia and England. Tennis, Wimbledon, the world number one Roger Federer and American John Isner. Straight set winners. On the ladies' side, U.S. Open champ Sloane Stephens upset, while Venus and Serena both advance, as does Madison Keys. Top seed Simona Halep plays at 12:30. Second seeded men's player Rafael Nadal gets underway at 10. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob?
Thanks, Rob Bushka. In sports business news, tennis star Roger Federer is changing teams. The 8-time Wimbledon champion has left Nike and joined Japanese casual clothing brand Uniqlo. The company is owned by Fast Retailing, and ESPN reports the deal is worth $300 million over 10 years. S&P futures up 6 points. The Sports Report brought to you by Investors Bank. Connect with the experts at Investors Bank. With strong relationships and customized solutions, they work with your business every step of the way. Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Member FDIC.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stock market showing signs of stabilizing, with European shares and U.S. futures rising following a mixed Asian session in which all eyes were on the yuan. The euro is strengthening as Germany's coalition government dodges a crisis over migration. And the New York Stock Exchange closes early today ahead of the 4th of July holiday. Right now, S&P futures are up 7.5 points, Dow futures up 81, NASDAQ futures up 23, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. DAX in Germany's up 1%. 10-year Treasury, little change, yield 2.87%, yield on the 2-year, 2.54%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.9% or 69 cents to $74.62 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.33%, up $4.10 to $12.45.90 an ounce. The euro, $1.1653, the yen 110.92. And today we're watching for factory orders out of 10 o'clock Wall Street time, along with durable goods orders. And the automakers report their U.S. sales figures for the month of June. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Karen. President Donald Trump plans to continue meeting with prospective nominees for the Supreme Court through the week. Trump interviewed about four potential nominees yesterday, spending about 45 minutes with each of them. All four are federal appeals judges: Raymond Kethledge, Emil Thapar, Brett Kavanaugh, and Amy Coney Barrett. Rescue teams in Thailand are examining how best to get 12 boys and their soccer coach out of a flooded cave where they've been trapped for 10 days. Rescuers say the boys are weak after 9 days without food. In baseball, the Yankees lost. The Red Sox beat the Nationals 4-3. The Giants lost. In the World Cup, Brazil and Belgium advanced. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Michael, thank you very much. It is now 5:19 on Wall Street, and we're joined by Callum Pickering, Berenberg Senior Economist. Good morning and welcome. This week's focus seems to be the growing tariff tensions with Friday's deadline for the latest U.S. action. Has the trade war already started for all intents and purposes? It's becoming at least more and more difficult to pull back.
It's becoming more and more difficult to pull back. That's the right way to look at it. From a purely economics point of view, we have, in a sense, lots of guns pointed at each other between the big players, China, the US, the EU, but few triggers have been pulled yet. But that is sort of beside the point. Even if the quantifiable impacts of, say, the tariffs on $50 billion of Chinese imports that the US has introduced is minuscule in terms of the size of the US economy, what we're seeing in markets, what we're seeing in Europe, is the fear that trade wars could blow up in a major way, weigh on confidence and weigh on economic activity. So even if the facts on the ground aren't that bad, the mere threat of an all-out trade war is already doing the damage.
You're saying that it's already causing problems even before all of the tariffs have kicked in.
That's right. And the way to think about it, certainly we see this more from a European point of view. I was in the U.S. last week, and my impression was the perceived risk is much lower. We have what I would say is a transatlantic gap. In the U.S., which earns around 15% of its GDP from exports and enjoys a nice fiscal stimulus thanks to the new Republican administration, you almost have a bit of a hedge against the uncertainty effects, whereas in Europe, where fiscal policy is less expansionary, where we earn almost twice as much, a near 30% of our GDP from exports, we've already seen at the start of the year the hit to confidence from the threat of trade wars weigh on economic activity. So now, whereas the U.S. is growing at well above its potential rate, Europe is growing only at its potential rate. We may see an improvement in European growth later this year, a closing of the transatlantic gap, if and only if these trade tensions subside.
Well, let me ask you about the Chinese economy and how that works in the direction of China.
Well, from a European point of view, if we see all-out trade wars, we get a little protection from our big internal market, the European Union, but policymakers may not react much. The ECB, at the worst, may simply slow down its policy normalization. China would do the opposite. China, the administration, has with the people a sort of social contract that it will hit its growth targets of around 6.5% GDP growth each year. So if, for example, Chinese exports to the US and elsewhere were to sink and that were to undermine those growth targets, the PBOC, the administration, would simply turn on the taps. So after one or two soft quarters, Chinese growth would speed up because China would stimulate its own economy in order to meet those growth targets, and it would provide that offset.
We have seen German Chancellor Angela Merkel stave off the immediate threat of a government breakup in the face of these calls for a tightened immigration policy. How big of an issue is that in Germany right now?
Well, it has a big impact on German politics insofar as Merkel has been a pillar of stability in the German domestic political scene for many years now. It's becoming increasingly clear that this is her last term, so there are big questions about what comes next. But when it comes to the policy mix in Germany, the key point is that there is huge consensus across all major parts of the country and government over what policies Germany should follow. So certainly when it comes to things like foreign policy, there's huge consensus to stick to the rules-based order. And there's huge consensus that we need to keep a careful eye on Mr. Trump, who seems set on disturbing it. So whoever replaces Merkel probably won't change the political dynamics too much. We may see, as a result of these recent tensions, a much weaker Merkel on the European political scene, so it may frustrate the process of European reform. But for the most part, certainly where I'm sitting in London, just looking over at Westminster, German politics, even despite the crisis, are still boring and will remain that way for the foreseeable future.
Very quickly, does the immigration issue affect the German economy that much?
Well, Germany benefits hugely from inflows of migrants, and the inflows of migrants, certainly from the south, non-European migrants, have subsided decided. The question is how to manage the internal flow of migrants from the Middle East and North Africa. If Germany can integrate those migrants well, which it probably will, it will be able to provide a nice offset to the natural slowdown in its domestic population growth rate, which has been occurring. So there's a potential upside for the economy if things go well, a potential political downside if things don't go well.
Callum Pickering is Berenberg Senior Economist. Appreciate your insights this morning. S&P futures up by 9 points. That is a third of 1%. The 10-year yield at 2.8748%. This is Daybreak. Brought to you by Willoughby's since 1898, New York City's boutique camera store. Four precision-crafted Hasselblad and Leica cameras, plus a full selection of GoPro action-adventure cameras. Willoughby's, corner of 5th Avenue and 35th Street.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures and stocks in Europe are higher as we head into the last trading day before the 4th of July holiday. Stocks in China reversed earlier losses to close up 0.4%.
The yuan is rising after the People's Bank of China said it will keep the currency stable at an equilibrium level and maintain a prudent neutral policy stance.
Glencore shares are down 11%. The world's biggest commodity trader says it's been subpoenaed by the U.S. Department of Justice to produce documents relating to corruption and money laundering.
Facebook shares down more than 1% in early trading. The social media company says it's cooperating with the Securities and Exchange Commission and the FBI on their reviews of the Cambridge Analytica data scandal.
Automakers release U.S. sales figures for June today, capping what's likely a stronger than expected first half of the year. Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger has a preview.
Car makers handily beat sales forecasts in May, and there are high expectations for the June numbers. Analysts think new vehicles were selling last month at an annual rate of 17 million, up from 16.7 million in June of last year. One automaker to watch will be Nissan. Industry watchers say it will likely be the only major car company to post weaker sales for last month. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Jeff. On the Brexit front, Bloomberg News has learned Theresa May is holding one-to-one talks with cabinet ministers in an attempt to win their support for her Brexit plan. That's after the UK Prime Minister surprised them with a new proposal for a customs deal with the European Union.
And we have some central bank policy decisions to update you on. Australia left its key interest rate unchanged at a record low. Sweden also kept its rate steady, but said it will start lifting interest rates toward the end of the year.
Futures this morning are moving higher. S&P futures are up 8 points. Dow futures up 97. NASDAQ futures up about 27. The DAX in Germany is up 0.9%. CAC in Paris up 0.8%. And the FTSE 100 is up 0.3%. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield 2.87%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.54%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.1% or 78 cents to $74.73 a barrel. COMEX gold moving higher up 0.4% at $5.40 to $12.47.10 an ounce. The euro is at $1.1657, the British pound $1.3187, and the yen 110.89. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. That brings us to 5:33 on Wall Street. The president tries to decide on a Supreme Court nominee. Here's Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you, Bob. President Trump says he will decide on a Supreme Court nominee this week and make the announcement on Monday. Speaking to reporters at the White House, the president said he met yesterday with four candidates.
They are outstanding people. They are really incredible people. In so many different ways, academically and every other way. And I had a very, very interesting morning.
According to people familiar with the matter, the four all federal appeals court judges are Amy Coney Barrett, Brett Kavanaugh, Amul Thapar, and Raymond Kethledge. Lawyers for Paul Manafort want to know where his prospective jurors get their news, how they vote, and what they know about the one-time Trump campaign chairman charged with bank fraud and filing false tax returns. Those and other proposed questions were submitted to a U.S. district judge in advance of Manafort's federal court trial in Alexandria, Virginia. The trial is set to start July 25th. Rescue teams in Thailand are examining how best to get 12 boys and their soccer coach out of a flooded cave where they have been trapped for 10 days. Divers found the group alive yesterday. Evidence of new efforts by Kim Jong-un to expand his nuclear arsenal shows the challenge facing Secretary of State Mike Pompeo when he returns to Pyongyang this week to seek a detailed disarmament plan. Several reports released in recent days suggest that Kim continued to ramp up his weapons production before his June 12th summit with President Trump. Iranian President Hassan Rouhani arrived in Switzerland and visits Austria, with a landmark nuclear accord negotiated and the two Alpine countries hanging in the balance. Bloomberg's Golnar Montevelli has more from Tehran.
President Hassan Rouhani's visits to Bern and Vienna will give the first crucial signs of whether Iran's European partners in the nuclear deal have what it takes to save the accord after U.S. President Donald Trump abandoned it in May and reimposed wide-ranging sanctions on the Islamic Republic. The stakes are high for Rouhani as he faces criticism at home for his management of a currency crisis precipitated by Trump's exit from the deal. In Tehran, Golnar Motivali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. Now 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Investors Bank. And good morning, Rob Bushka.
Good morning, Bob. Yankees not only with a rare loss at home, but from the bullpen as well in extra innings.
Looking at a 1-2 count. Hit high in the air to right field. This one drifting back. This one at the wall. Judge is there. Leaps into the air. And he could not bring it back. That's a home run by Ronald Acuna. Bombs away here in the Bronx. And the Braves lead it 5-3.
Braves Radio Atlanta beat New York 5-3 to open up the series. Red Sox beat Max Scherzer and the Nats on the road, so Boston enters play Tuesday with a one-game lead. Series continues tonight from the stadium. Mets took Monday off. They'll battle the Blue Jays from Toronto. Zach Wheeler faces Marco Estrada. New York has dropped 8 of 10. Giants blew a late lead in Colorado, falling 5-2 to the Rockies. NBA free agency spilled over Monday, where aside from LeBron, the most productive player on the board joined the champs. Center DeMarcus Cousins, who averaged 25 points and 13 rebounds for the Pelicans, is a Golden State Warrior on a one-year deal. World Cup, Mexico had their dreams dashed by Neymar and Brazil 2-0. Neymar with a goal and an assist. Belgium edged Japan 3-2 in stoppage time. Today, the Swiss take on Sweden at 10 a.m., followed by England and Colombia. Wimbledon, on the ladies' side, Sloane Stephens, the U.S. Open champ, upset in straight sets. Both Serena and Venus Williams victorious, as is American Madison Keys. Men's side, no trouble for world number one Roger Federer and American John Isner. Today, top seed Simona Halep and men's number two Rafael Nadal both in action. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob?
Rob Bushka, thanks very much. It is now 5:37 on Wall Street, and the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now. It's a special issue of the magazine with a focus on heists, featuring some of the world's biggest thefts, scams, and frauds, including how to steal 50 million bees. Josh Dean wrote the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
When bees started going missing, hundreds of hives at a time, it was very clear to people who knew that it was a professional, someone who was either in the industry or who had employees who knew how to work.
You can read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now to access insights and analysis on the global stories that matter most. Now 5:38 on Wall Street. Time for your Tri-State Business Report, and we check in with Bloomberg's Ed Corey. Good morning.
Bob, you know how to stop the bee theft sting operation, of course. Manhattan homebuyers, Bob, are demanding bargains or walking away from deals in a market where inventory is swelling. In the second quarter, purchases fell 17% from a year ago, according to Miller Samuel and Douglas Elliman Real Estate. Median price for all homes down 7.5%. New Jersey's on track to follow South Dakota's lead in online sales tax collection. Lawmakers proposing a bill that would affect sellers with more than $100,000 in sales or 200 or more separate transactions in a calendar year. As many as 7,100 Connecticut state employees who choose not to pay union dues will no longer have fees deducted from their paychecks this month in compliance with last week's U.S. Supreme Court ruling. Hartford Courant says the governor's office is still trying to figure out how the state will allow workers to opt out. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Bob?
Still groaning, Ed. It is now 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KFAB in Omaha. Cornfields across the Midwest are getting relief as milder weather ends a heat wave that threatens the growing season.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that China is canceling more U.S. soybean shipments as more tariffs loom.
I'm Marcus Carlson on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're following a surprise acceleration of the U.K. construction sector in June.
I'm Joan Doniger telling WTIC listeners in Hartford, Connecticut, why there's so much empty retail space in the Fairfield area.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting automakers are expected to report a faster pace of sales today.
Thank you all, and those are just some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. S&P futures up 8 points. That is a third of 1%. Dow futures have added 97 points, and NASDAQ futures higher by 27 points. 10-year Treasury prices down 1/32nd. The yield up to 2.8766%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. This is Bloomberg Radio. Check out at TikTok by Bloomberg, the first and only global news network built for Twitter, 24/7 news, streaming live on Twitter. Follow us at TikTok, TICTOC.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks are showing signs of stabilizing today with U.S. futures and European equities rising. The moves higher come after a mixed session in Asia. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally reports from Singapore.
The Aussie dollar rallied as China offered support for the yuan, while the Shanghai Composite reversed earlier losses to close higher by 0.4% to 2,786 points. Australian stocks were also higher, supported by the rebound in crude, the country's central bank keeping interest rates there at record lows. But equity markets in Hong Kong were slammed as traders played catch-up to Monday's sell-off. Banks, developers and Tencent shares all declined, while casino stocks were sold off on weak Macau gaming numbers for June. Analysts saying gamers likely spent their money on World Cup wages last month instead. In Singapore, Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thank you. It's a shortened trading day with the New York Stock Exchange closing at 1 p.m. Wall Street time ahead of the 4th of July holiday. This morning, automakers report U.S. sales figures for June, and at 10 a.m., the government issues data on factory orders for May. Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice has a preview.
Preliminary factory data issued June 27th showed durable goods orders dropped 0.6% in May, the third decline since the start of the year. Orders for commercial aircraft, primary and fabricated metals accounted for much of the drop. Manufacturing accounts for about 10% of economic activity. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thank you. And S&P futures are up 9 points this morning. Dow futures up 104. NASDAQ futures up 25. The DAX in Germany is up 1%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32nd. Yield 2.87%. Yield on the 2-year 2.55%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.1% or 79 cents to $74.73 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.5% or $5.80 to $12.47.50 an ounce. And the euro, $1.1664. The yen, 110.90. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, a top Thai official says that heavy rains forecast for the coming days could worsen floods in a mountain cave, forcing authorities to speed up extracting 12 boys and their soccer coach who are trapped there. Officials say the 13 are mostly in stable medical condition and have received high-protein liquid food after they were located yesterday in the cave after a desperate search. Thailand's interior minister says that the boys may need to swim out using diving equipment. President Trump has warned NATO allies to spend more on their own defense. In a letter, Trump says the U.S. is losing patience. In baseball, the Yankees lost. The Red Sox beat the Nationals 4-3. The Giants lost. In the World Cup, Brazil and Belgium advanced. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. Now coming up on 5:50 on Wall Street, time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion, our platform offering informed perspectives on a range of global topics and expert data-driven commentary on breaking news. We're joined live now by Jennifer Ryan, Bloomberg Opinion Editor in our London Bureau. It is a decade since Lehman Brothers collapsed, and the time of year when markets are worried about another summer surprise. And Jennifer Ryan in London, our story from Sony Kapoor, talks about four big risks to watch 10 years after Lehman.
Yes, and the first one that he mentions is a record level of indebtedness in the global economy. And this just isn't about, you know, the sheer amount of public and private debt, but it's also about a deterioration in average quality. He points out that there are only 11 sovereigns and two U.S. firms left with a AAA rating, and there's a continuing decline in the average credit quality of outstanding loans and bonds. Okay, now second, moving on from that, with quantitative easing having left central banks with a record $15 trillion of assets on their balance sheets and interest rates still close to record lows, they've got limited room for a robust response to another shock.
Okay, so there's a couple. We got a couple more?
We do indeed. So they're both political in nature. One is the loss of the political center. It's really deteriorated in certain major economies. Populism of both the far right and the far left variety is rising, and that's partly in response to the crisis. And then the last one he points out is the collapse of trust and the weakening in the international order. This, again, isn't just a matter of the U.S. with the Trump administration kind of taking a wrecking ball to global international cooperation. The sensible political center in the European Union has really diminished. And so what that does is leave little room for sensible policies.
Sounds like we're doomed, huh?
It does sound like we're doomed, and I'm sorry to be depressing you right before your 4th of July weekend. But look, one good point is that banks are stronger today than they were in 2008, and policymakers really do have a bigger crisis toolkit. But unfortunately, the four risks that he points out means that things might be more fragile on every other count than they were since 2008.
And Shirley Wren writes about China's ability to force a Powell put, and it's real?
It is real. So we're looking at the weakness of the yuan against the dollar over the past month or so, and it's been pretty substantial. So this sort of begs a question, what does China want from the U.S. Federal Reserve? And what it wants is a slowdown in the pace of rate hikes. To see this, you need look no further than the corporate bond market. In the U.S., high-yield notes have outperformed treasuries. So for China and its $1.2 trillion of U.S. government debt holdings, that's looking no longer like a safe haven.
Have we seen Fed chairs succumb before?
We have indeed. So within hours of Beijing's shock 2% currency devaluation in August 2015, the odds that the Fed would raise interest rates in September dropped like a stone.
Are traders prepared?
Well, so far they've brushed aside the yuan's weakness and leaving the odds of a rate hike this year unchanged. But that's because the yuan, as measured against China's trade-weighted basket, is still trading within an acceptable range. Should that weaken, the picture would change quickly.
Okay, our thanks to Jennifer Ryan in London. You can read more on this and other stories from Bloomberg Opinion at Bloomberg.com/opinion and on the Bloomberg terminal by typing O-P-I-N, go. Karen.
Thank you, Bob. It is 5:53 on Wall Street. It's time for our Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Joan Doniger in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
The IRS is launching five new compliance campaigns, including one that targets taxpayers who don't properly report overseas income for a new one-time tax. The National Conference of State Legislatures is recommending states wait until 2019 to implement economic nexus laws for sales tax collection, and Medicare's payments to home health agencies would increase by 2.1% next year. The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services also proposes a focus on clinical characteristics instead of volume of therapy payment.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Now, in other legal news, let's look at state challenges to the Trump administration's immigration policies and the continuing debate over migrant family separations at the border. For more on the issue, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks with Rick Sue, a professor at the University at Buffalo School of Law.
Rick, the cities are trying to block a move by the Justice Department to modify the Flores settlement. It's a case that's become familiar to those who've been following the separation of children from their parents. Tell us more about that and what the cities are trying to do here.
Yeah, so the Flores agreement is really about the condition of children, especially in custody, and it has two components. It essentially says that as early as possible that the government should either release or place the children in a licensed facility. It does not, however, say anything about parents or adults. So what the government now wants courts to do to amend the agreement is to say that the government can indefinitely detain children as long as they are with their parents. Right, according to Trump's executive order, and also that they don't have to detain them in licensed facilities, licensed for children, but any facility. And as we're hearing, they are developing lots of facilities on military bases and other areas to try to sort of get around this licensed facility and make more beds available, if you will.
So the Obama administration made a similar request of L.A. federal judge Dolly G. in 2015 during a surge of Central American families crossing the border illegally. Is there any reason to think this ruling will change as the government wants?
There might be. Certainly, when the Obama administration raised it, another option that at least the Obama administration was considering and ultimately executed was to just release parents and children, especially those that they had a good sense that they would appear for court and isn't for other considerations a danger to the community. But it seems so far, and we can see how the political winds shift, but it seems so far that both Jeff Sessions and the Trump administration is very clear that they are not going to release these individuals. So confronted with separation and, on the other hand, indefinite detention, it may be that the judge may see it differently. Of course, there are also options. The judge can, as the Obama administration did, require that they release these particular individuals, maybe with monitoring bracelets in order to ensure that they arrive in court, but nonetheless not actually say that they can indefinitely detain.
That's Rick Sue, professor at the University of Buffalo School of Law, speaking with Bloomberg's June Grasso. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law, weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. And find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. S&P futures up 8.5 points this morning. Dow futures up 106. NASDAQ futures up 25. The DAX in Germany's up 1.2%. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield 2.87%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.54%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.1% or 79 cents to $74.73 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.4%, up $5.10 to $12.46.90 an ounce. And the euro $1.1652. Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg Radio.